right, so welcome everybody to the Zenith Digital Podcast. Today the setting is a bit more different than last time. This is episode number 2, and it's a bit more interesting. I think so. I hope you do as well. That's the thing about this podcast. You'll see me make it along the way. I'm going to try to change something up every time, as some might say. This is what we're working with now. I've got some books. We've got this 401 studio. That's where I'm right now. This is 401 studio in Riga, Latvia. Well, this fell down. I'm going to fix it up. See, things happen. Things happen with these things. You gotta fix them up. Anyways, while this is a bit more interesting, the interesting thing I want to talk to you about today is branding. Why branding? Well, because that is one of the main topics I've been immersing myself in for the past 4 years. I've been studying brands head to toe, what I could find on the internet, what I could work with in projects. I have launched some brands, have watched some brands launch themselves, and many conversations and actions that were taken. Later, we are here to talk about branding. We are here to talk about branding. So what is branding and where it started? Well, when we were just a fresh civilization, just realized how we can harvest food, how we can build shelters, live in houses, not caves. Way back then, we ran into a problem. How do I know my cows are my cows and my neighbor's cows are his cows? Very big problem, as you might tell, because they all probably look the same at some village. You go out in the fields, you'll go out with 50 cows, you came back with 35. That's a big problem. It's a big problem for winter, because you know you're not going to have food. So what people discovered they could do at that time is to mark the cows. Mark the cows, put a brand onto them, and that's where branding comes from. In ancient times, we marked the livestock in order to make sure everybody knows who it belongs to. And so that probably evolved, where people started marking more things. And then somebody had a lot of things to mark. Maybe marking even territories. That's how that evolved. It evolved to countries, and things like symbols were introduced into branding. And that's where meaning assigned to a brand comes from. It's just not somebody's name. Now the brand symbolizes. It's a symbol of belonging to something, to some territory, to some nation, some religion. Like for like just simple examples. We all remember what ancient Egypt art looks like. Like if I'm talking about it, you can probably visualize the style that it looks like. Well, we can say they had cohesive elements in their brand as a culture, a drawing style left on walls of ancient temples, pyramids, and all that. And like it evolved towards ancient Greece with paintings on vases, symbols like like religious symbols like the flame of Prometheus and such like that. They evolved into branding events like the like ancient Olympic Games that now we have with the torch and everything, and to countries bearing flags. No, well, not countries yet, but city-states, And then some city-states became more bigger, like Rome, for example, had a huge symbolism everywhere. The Roman symbols on the army, in the castles, everywhere. They really took this branding, this symbol of belonging to the Roman Empire everywhere, as far as they go. They even put it in the roads that they built. And we still talk about today, oh, the Roman roads, you know. That's a long-lasting brand that they built with their existence. And so countries took it on. I'm not sure about merchants, about how merchants operated in that time. I'm guessing every house had their crest, and every family was wearing their crest, their symbol. So that's another manifestation of branding at that time. I know families had a very big meaning in ancient Rome, like from what lineage you came as a Roman citizen, and those who were not Roman citizens, they were had different status in the society and everything. So this branding symbols of belonging had a very impactful meaning into that time's society. Yeah, and so after that, well, it just evolved, you know. Kings kept wearing sigils, and they had crests and everything, and just kept on going. A symbol of belonging, a mark, a brand has been something that we've been wearing to symbolize what either we belong to or what belongs to us. As countries formed, there was a single moment that changed the course of history, we might say, for us. It's one of the great inventions. The printing press was invented, and now we could use paper and put our brands on paper. So you can comprehend the level of where branding can go now, that there is an infinite, not an infinite, but at that time, infinite source of markable documents, information, pieces of law, everywhere you can put a stamp, post, like when you were sending post by a bird, you would roll it together and mark the sigil of where you're sending it from, the house of wherever. And so the ability to brand things just evolved to a whole nother level. And there we can see countries forming, like France, having their national flags be more symbolic, like after the revolution, the changing of the flag from the royal flag to now the post-revolution France flag, and then Napoleon and everything. So that just evolved to another level, more symbols, more meaning, to the Industrial Revolution. So when the Industrial Revolution happened, we started producing en masse items. Cars. No, planes, not maybe. No, planes weren't at that time. Like cars, bottles of milk, any kind of product that people came up with to produce in factories needed now to be marked as from certain factory, certain company, certain organization. So we have things evolving like Ford, like family names. Like you can see how it evolved from crests that families would wear to brands that have the family name. Like Ford cars still drive today, and it comes from the Ford family name. And we have many of these names throughout history that have turned into massive global brands that are still alive and operating today. That all came from factories in the Industrial Revolution. And so the mass production of items allowed a logo to be put on them. And this is where the element of a logo starts to come in. Not just a symbol, but now a logo representing a bigger name, a bigger brand. So it's starting to form some kind of associations, like you associate. I'm going back to Ford because that's today's example. You associate Ford with cars. So the brand started evolving into these were like before symbols of belonging, symbols of, and now added symbols of meaning. And now starting the, with logos, the brand started to set expectations. Like we expect Ford to produce cars, maybe engines, maybe tanks, but like at the base of it, we know Ford for cars. So brands are starting to set expectations that they are doing, and organizations are starting to evolve and transform into global entities that people can understand once you see simple. M, right, you already know what I'm talking about. And I don't even have to like explain anything. That happened. And that brings us to today. We have massive entities, massive brands that we follow along every day, that we see every day, that we interact with, engage with every day. And we have certain expectations of those brands. For example, we know what kind of a burger we're going to get at McDonald's and we choose to buy it. You know, we know how it's going to taste every time. We trust that it will be made fast, you know, all that stuff. So we have our expectations set towards certain brands, and we hope they fill it and meet us when we come to buy their product. But what now? What is happening now when the internet entered the chat? We have social media and we have internet identities. So now we don't have just factories labeling their products. We have people labeling their social status. We have what's it called, a personal brand, a symbol of expectations towards one's personality, I guess, that this person is going to be a smart businessman. This person is going to be a fun entertainer. And we turn to these personal brands to receive what they are offering in the social space. And in what's interesting in this space, everybody has their social there. Like, let's say an Instagram is your personal brand, like page. Your Facebook, your Twitter, everything, your thoughts, your ideas, your posts. It's maybe you don't put a logo on yourself, but you're still expressing ideas that are produced by you, hopefully not AI. You're putting them online and they're under your profile tag. That is the mark of your brand, posted by a certain person, posted by a certain organization. So every time you post something, it's marked by your profile. So we are we have created these online identities and some people are transforming them into their personal brands and monetizing them and producing information products, producing or just even not even producing products, affiliate marketing products, white label products that they put their personal brand onto that, because they have built trust and expectations of an audience that they can fulfill with a certain product. All right, so we have, all of us now have online identities. Some of us have personal brands. We have organizations that have their brands online. What now? Well, that is the question that everybody, not everybody, it's me, I am interested about. What now? Because there are many problems in this situation that we have found ourselves in. If a brand is something marked as ours, as mine, my organizations, my communities, do we own it? If you post a picture on Instagram, do you own it? Well, I'm not sure about the legal questions here, to be honest. This conversation just took an interesting turn. I'm not sure about the legal implications, but technically, if internet shut down, if Instagram shut down, and your picture was only on Instagram, it is gone. That's it. Your picture is gone with the wind. So that sets up a problem where you're like, I had this picture on Instagram that was mine. And in a conversation, someone once said, in a hypothetical situation where Instagram is gone, and the other person asks, well, prove it. How can you prove something is real on Instagram? It's a topic. I'm already getting ahead of myself. This is a talk about NFTs and digital ownership that I will probably get into in another episode. I guess the conclusion is that branding something is as easy as ever today. Ascribing meaning to it is a bit more difficult, but setting brand expectations and fulfilling them is the hardest part. And every startup, every business who can set brand expectations and fulfill them for their customers will be the ones that will gain the customers for life. Because if you trust somebody, if you trust a human person, a brand, you will most likely trust them until they don't fulfill their trust expectations. So brand trust and brand strategy is key in today's world. That is what every business should focus on, is setting great expectations and fulfilling them for their customers. At the core, of course. You also need a nice logo, a cool website, a slogan, all that. But we must remember, this is what Marty Neumeyer said, one of the great conglomerates of branding. He said, a brand is not what you think of it or what you say it is. A brand is what your customers think of your brand. So if I think a certain brand is whack, it's not nice, I don't feel comfortable, like for example, a shirt, I don't feel comfortable wearing some kind of shirt with a big circle and some squares in it and stuff like that. I'm just not going to trust it. I don't, but if there will be a shirt, a brand that creates a shirt with a square, a big square and a circle in it, Maybe that's what I like. And I'll be like, okay, I expect they have a good shirt. I'm going to buy it. I'm going to wear it. If it's going to be nice, it's going to be not going to, like the color's not going to wash out and stuff. These expectations that, let's say the brand said they're the best quality shirt ever. If these expectations will be fulfilled, I will buy that shirt again when I need a new one, you know. I will return as a returning customer. If you're a business owner, you can think about what kind of expectations have you set for your customers and how are you fulfilling them? That's the question I am ending with today and leaving you to think about till the next episode. Thank you so much for listening. Always remember, press like, subscribe, follow Spotify, Apple Music, everywhere.